Gracious Heavenly Father, we love you, we praise you. Thank you for being here with us today. Lord, thank you for your presence. Lord, I just pray over everybody that is here and everybody that is watching and everybody that will watch, Lord, that we will just experience you like never before. And may your word become evident to us. Help us to trust you in the midst of whatever situation we're in. Dear God, help us to know that you have our best interest at hand and that nothing will prevail against us that you do not allow. And whatever you do allow, Lord, as a good and heavenly Father, we trust that it's for our benefit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if there's one thing that you notice today, it's probably that I don't have my book bag. You know, I was thinking about, I was thinking about it a lot, and I was like, you know what? I filled it, packed it full of books, and it's heavy. But God told me, I want you to go up there, just you. A lot of times I get up here and I feel like I'm just acting, just to have fun. And there's a season for that. But there's also a time when God wants us to be real. And so what I want to do this morning for all the kids who are listening and who are here is to just share a little bit of my testimony with you guys. Okay? We've been around long enough. I care about you, and I know you care about me, and I'd just like you to know a little bit more about me and why I lead kids the way that I do and the direction that I do. So, first of all, my testimony starts actually before I was even conceived. One of the greatest values is life for me. And I'll tell you why. Because before I was conceived, my mother had a severe muscle disease. In fact, it put her in the hospital on a respirator. And when she did conceive me, she did find out that she was pregnant, the doctor said, you know what, you could die if you have this child. Thankfully, there was another person whispering in her ear that said, if you have this child, you're going to be blessed. And so I'm a strong advocate for life. I, as someone that could make, for good reasons not be here, I am so grateful that my mother made the decision that she did to have me. And so I value life. In fact, everybody that's here, you are a life. Everybody that's out there, you are a life. God intended your life to be where you're at right now, and he has a plan for you despite whatever your circumstances are right now. However gloomy they might be or however awesome they might be, God has a plan for you right now. God has a plan for me right now. So I value life. You know, as my mother brought me up, she instilled biblical values. She was like, God is real. She'd read Bible stories. She'd send us to church, even though she couldn't go to church because of her muscle disease. I don't want to get into all the details on that. But, it was kind of embarrassing for her to go to church. And so she would send us with our neighbor to church, and I learned Bible stories. And I remember one particular one, Pastor Jay, is about Elijah. And I just remember looking up into the sky thinking, it would be so awesome to be a prophet like God, being used by God. So, when I went to church, I attended a vacation Bible school at a young age, and they had a family service, and all these kids packed the sanctuary, and the person gave a message, a salvation message. And I remember explicit details that my brothers, actually, I was kind of like in an alcove, just like that, Pastor Jay. And I was standing next to my brothers, and I felt like the tug to go up there. But it wasn't until my brother said, hey, you should go up there. We already did this. And so I was like, okay. So I go up there, and I pray, and I'm like on this side right over here. It's so amazing how things kind of look similar, even though it's probably totally different. But anyway, I get up here, I kneel, and I pray, and I ask Jesus into my life. And then I go back to where my brothers were, and they laughed at me, and they were like, haha, we didn't really do that. But you know what? It was so real to me. I said, doesn't matter. You know, at that point, I was God's, and I always kind of felt like a third wheel. In fact, our life, you know, not to compare our lifestyles, but our lives are completely different. And I do pray for them. I do love them. But anyway, so I value Vacation Bible School. You know, sometimes, you know, year after year, we put a lot into it. And I'm so grateful that that our Father's House partners in that with that mission, because that means a whole lot. Because, you know, number one, God gave me life in the beginning by speaking through a pastor to my mother. Number two, God saved me at a Vacation Bible School. I heard his message there. Third thing I want to share regarding my testimony, I'm not going to share everything because it is pretty long, but the third thing is, you know, I didn't go to church my whole adolescent life. And through that, you know, I was influenced by some negative peers and got off track. I always believed in God, but, you know, his message was, you know, it was kind of dimming. You know, I was a wrestler, and one thing I remember my dad saying was, when you're wrestling, stay on the corner where your coach is, because you need to hear what he's saying. Don't go over where the opponent's coach is, because that allows him to hear what his coach is saying. Stay on your side. And so I just say that because there is a principle in that we got to be hearing God. We got to intentionally be meeting together, hearing God's voice so that we could hear our coach, you know, the one that's helping us to win this battle. You know, I know we have this life and the end of the book says God wins and everyone on his side is with him. So that means we're winners already. But we got to stay in line with God's word and be able to hear him. So we got to stay close to him. And so in that period of time in my life, I was going off to the side and I was, you know, with my other friends who weren't Christians, and they were listening to a different coach, and I got involved in some drugs and, you know, some other bad behaviors, and I ended up going to a wilderness camp where God grabbed a hold of me there, you know, and spun me around, got me back on track. I learned new priorities, surrounded me with people. It was amazing. There was a chaplain there, and sometimes I was the only one that was there learning the Bible studies and stuff like that. But one thing I learned from that experience, and this is value number three, is the body of Christ. God pointed out to me at that point in time that if I was going to stay on this track of in alignment with him, if I was going to not be someone that, if I wanted to be that prophet that I so desired as a kid, I need to be in the church. I need to be in the church. I need to be surrounded by people that are going the same direction as me. And that's what I chose to do, even though I walked a mile to church and walked back. That was where God had me, and that's what God placed in my heart. So as we are getting ready to open up our church and meet again here at the church, I know there's a lot of questions for families out there. Am I going to go? Am I going to go? My value is you will see me here. I can't make the decision for you, but I want to encourage you because of what God has showed me in my life. I want to encourage you to be present, to be a part of the body. And it's not a condemnation for anybody that's not there. I know we're all at different places, and sometimes I waver back and forth too. And I think that's part of being human. In fact, Paul talks about that. So anyway, I just want to pray with you and leave you with a blessing, and then welcome up our pastor who's going to preach. Gracious Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercies in our lives. Lord, I ask right now that you will bless every family, every child, every parent, dear God, that is listening. Lord, I ask that you will just instill in them that they are your child and that nothing will happen to us that you don't allow for our benefit and for the benefit of those who love you. Lord, I pray a hedge of protection around each and every person. Lord, how can we preach your word to others unless we are able to go? And so I pray for protection. I pray for their health. I pray for their life, dear God. All these things that you have placed in my life, that these strong pillars, Lord, that keep me going, that keep me in the direction that you have me on. Lord, I just pray that you will instill strong pillars in the lives of everybody that's listening here today. Lord, that you will lead them, that they will step out on faith, that they will follow your word and be strong and courageous, Lord God. And Father, that your kingdom will continue to expand and grow here on this earth. Lord, despite the circumstances, despite whatever other whispers, whatever other coaches are saying in our opponent's ears, dear God, I just pray that you will help every hearer that is listening today to get close to their coach, you, oh God, that we may hear your message, that we may be on track with you all the days of our lives, that we may not wander off, but stay focused and stay determined and just grow in you, Lord. Fill your church with your Holy Spirit. Fill your church with your power, dear God. Lord, let things happen today and from here on out that have never happened before in your power. Let the world see your glory today in Jesus' name. Father, may your Holy Spirit just come down and take over. Lord, we trust you. We love you in Jesus' name. Help us to walk where no man is willing to walk, Lord, but because you have destined us to be there, Lord, make that way, Pat. Make that way straight for us and open up the doors for us, Lord God, wherever they may be. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Yes.
There we go.
Now you can all hear me. Thank you, Pastor Dan, for your testimony this morning. I know I got to share it my own recently with our men's group, and it's good to hear some of the parallels that we've had in our journeys together. You know, the Lord is faithful to us even when we wander away from us. When we wander away from him, he calls us back. And likewise, I had a similar turning from the Lord where he just spun me back around and said, come on, follow me, realign with me. And so I'm encouraged to hear that testimony today. So I want to also just share with whatever parents are out there whose kids had come to the Lord and are wandering right now, keep praying for them. Don't lose hope because the Lord can draw them back. It's their decision whether they're going to continue to walk with him or not. But God is a restoring God. He is one that remembers the covenants we've made with him. And he has a way of laying hold of us in our hearts like no one can. So I just want to encourage you with that. I'm a walking testimony of that. I also want to say that our testimonies continue on. They keep going. The story keeps being written. We keep unfolding more and more as we go along on our journey with him, and it's important for us to share our testimonies with one another. Well, as we're coming back into this time where we're getting ready to re-enter the building, I want to just take a quick pause and say thank you to everybody who has been continuing through this COVID time with us. The story's not over with this yet, but we are working to get these doors open so that we can bring you in here and to be together. It is wonderful being able to be together with one another. So I'm thankful for that. But I also want to commend you that even in this time where so many of us have not been able to even be participating in our outdoor services, you have been so faithful financially as a church to continue to tithe and to continue to give offerings for the various ministries and missionaries that we partner with around this planet. We are just so thankful to you for your faithfulness. You know, that's not the testimony everywhere, but you are a faithful people. You've been faithful financially over the years. You've continued in this very stressing time to continue to be faithful. So I just want to commend you as your pastor. That is a wonderful, wonderful fruit of the Spirit that we're seeing alive in you, that generosity and that continuance to be in alignment with the Lord and recognize that he is our source, he is our resourcer, he is our strength, even in the most trying times that many of us have been in during this season. So well done. Well done. And thank you for that. Well, this morning, I don't have the opportunity to preach. Another man will be preaching to you. My very good friend and brother, Pastor Steve Coy, who has been continuing to pour into us during this time. All who are here present, please rise and welcome Steve Coy to the stage. He's bringing the word of the Lord for us today. God bless you, Steve.
Good morning, everybody. There's people here. That's exciting. And there's people online. Hello, wherever the camera is. There it is. Good morning, everybody. I want to talk to you today about, is it really loud or is it just me? A little loud? Okay. All right. Woo. I'm easily distracted, and that's part of the message. Anyway, 2020, what a year, huh? And I want to focus this morning on seeing what really matters, because it's so easy to get distracted and sideways. Matter of fact, this year, I would say the four D's have been heavy at play, right? First of all, we have the distraction of this life and what is all going on, and things have been a little insane that way. There we go. Distraction. Again, ADHD child. My parents didn't use Ritalin or anything else. They use a belt. I don't know if that was as effective as drugs would have been, but anyway, easily distracted. And even this week, I've been easily distracted. I'm sitting here trying to work, and it's like, I wonder what's happening on Facebook right now. Oh, no, no, back to work. I wonder what's happening on Fox News right now. Nope, back to, oh, thank you. I don't know what's going on. You know, I got to find out. Oh, no. And it's just this whole year. It's like, what's going to happen next, you know? And, you know, is Hogan going to show up in our houses to see if we're, you know, having too many people over for Thanksgiving? You know, what is all going on? What are the rules going to be? And that leads to disorientation. I mean, are we meeting here? Are we meeting outside? Are we meeting online? I mean, it's like, I don't even know where the orientation is. And then, can I go to the office or can I not go to the office? If I go to the office, what are the rules when I get to the office? Can I sit in the office or do I need to just stand in the office? When I meet people for the first time, do I reach out to shake their hands? I definitely don't spit in my hand and reach out and shake for them. I know that. But, you know, what do you do? What is the protocol? And anybody else have a little distress going on? Man, my whole system has been, like, distressed. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and my numbers this year, they go, like, smooth, 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 all over the place for no apparent reason whatsoever, and then smooth, smooth. And my body's distressed. My spirit gets distressed. My marriage has had some distress in it through all this. Anybody else have that issue, you know? It's like you're with the person 24/7 now. I hope you like them. And then division. You know, as a nation, we just seem to be more and more divided about everything. I mean, if you post, I love Baby Yoda, there'll be 1,000 people who'll respond. 500 will say, God bless you. 500 will say, how can you go to such paths and depths of despair as to like that little green animatronic creature? Why? Just because you posted an opinion about anything. And we see this division. But I want us this morning to gain a little focus. Now, sometimes focus can be a little strange looking. Matter of fact, I found this picture like 15 years ago. And I just really like this picture for, you know, keeping singularity of focus. Is that picture up yet? No, it's not up yet. Nope, there it is. Yeah, isn't that nice? I love that picture. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Does that give you a picture of singularity of focus? Now, hopefully you take better care of your teeth than that. But I want to tell you a story from Scripture about the smartest guy who ever lived. I mean, wise, smart, and he knew the Scripture backwards and forwards. Matter of fact, one of the things a king was to do was take the first five books of the law, and he was supposed to read them personally so that he would know and follow the law. And this guy did. He actually gave us some of the greatest sayings to ever be written down by a human being, inspired by God, but written down by him. His name is Solomon. And Solomon's going to make a request. Solomon had the privilege and joy of building the temple, and he makes this request to God and the people. He says to them, and praying, he goes in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 57. There's a whole bunch in there, but I'm just picking out some of the highlights. And you go, man, he's reading a lot. Yeah, I'm reading just the small highlighted part. It's a long chapters. But in verse 57 of 1 Kings chapter 8, it says, the Lord your God, our God, be with us, as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us, that he may incline you. And I need you to do that for all the nation of Israel. Because Solomon, being wise as he was, knew that, what do we have a tendency to do? Our eyes get off the Lord. Our heart tends to go away. Oh, bind my wandering heart. Oh, take and seal it. Bind it for thy courts above. Why? Because I'm prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We're all this way. And Solomon cries out and prays for himself and for his people. May he incline our hearts to him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and statutes and his rules, which he commanded our fathers. Let these words of mine, with which I have pleaded before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God, day and night. So he's saying, God, not only am I praying this, may God hear these words of mine, and may he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel as each day requires. Remember, there's always a so that in Scripture. And Solomon knew God's purpose, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no other. You know, why does God save us? So that people may know that he is God and there is no other. He redeems us. He saves us for that purpose, to bring glory to his name, and so that all the people of the earth may come to know him. And then Solomon continues and says, let your heart, therefore, he's telling the people, let your heart, therefore, be wholly true to the Lord our God, walking in his statutes and keeping his commandments as at this day. Solomon says, hey, whatever you do, be wholly committed to God. Be wholly devoted to God. Let your heart go fully and completely towards God. Because Solomon, being the wisest man that he is going to say later that, you know, out of the heart are the issues of life. But let's look at how God responds. In chapter 9 of 1 Kings, verse 3, it says, and the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your plea, which you made before me. And as for you, if you will walk before me as David, your father, walked, with integrity of heart, that is completeness of heart, nothing hiding, nothing hidden, nothing not being revealed, in uprightness, doing according to all that I have commanded you, in keeping my statutes and my rules, then I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised David your father, saying, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Come on, fingers, work. But if you turn aside from following me, you or your children, and do not keep my commandments and my statutes that I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land that I have given them, and the house that I have consecrated for my name, and I will cast out of my sight, and Israel will become a proverb and a byword among all peoples. So Solomon prays his prayer. God answers the prayer. But God answers the prayer with a warning. The whole blessing and cursing. Follow me with all your heart. Yeah, because if you don't, it's going to affect you. But not only you, it's going to affect your children. And we see this. We see this in the king. Saul, the first king of Israel, had no heart for God. David, God's going to say over and over, this guy was wholehearted for me. He was fully devoted to me. But David sinned, you say. Yes, he did. But he always repented and turned back to God, and God blessed him. And David had this whole heart for God. He may have gotten off track for a while, as Daniel was saying in his testimony. By the way, great lead-in right there. And as I did in my life, as Pastor Jay just said he did in his life, we had this period of walking away. But a wholehearted person ends up going back to and repenting and turning again towards God. But we see Solomon here had a divided heart. He knew the truths, but he will choose to walk away from them. And not only choose to walk away, but when confronted, there's no record of him even saying, my bad. So let's continue on. Well, some things you need to remember, and I've mentioned some of these already, is the fact that God had appeared to Solomon twice. God appeared to him before and said, ask anything you want. And Solomon said, give me wisdom to rule your people. And God said, you got it. And then he made the covenant with him and made the promises again. And then he appears to them in the passage we just read. And God made promises to Solomon twice and to David, his father David. And God heard Solomon's prayer to incline his heart towards God. He gave him that heart. And Solomon spoke truth and wisdom to his people and to us. He said in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 are full of warnings against what? Adultery. And not against women. And, you know, that's a lot of things. People read those and they all see women bad. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying anything. It could be a woman, or if you're a woman, it could be a man, or those who struggle with same-sex attraction, it could be the same sex. God says those things, if you let them, they'll pull your heart away from me and lead to destruction. And Solomon wrote that. I mean, Solomon says, hey, yep, got to remember this, don't do this. And we see this wisdom of Solomon. We also see his words. Solomon dedicates the temple and his benediction are full of warnings that he will break. You ever think about that? Hey guys, whatever you do, don't turn away from God. Whatever you do, don't put up idols. Whatever you do, keep your focus on God. And if you do fall, repent. But later in life, I'm not going to keep a single one of those. It's a classic case of a parent saying what? Do as I say, not as I do. Yeah, I mean, you all... I'm afraid I might have said that once or twice as a parent. And as soon as I said it, I said, yeah, that's not going to fly. That's not going to work. I need to change. If I don't want that for my kids, I can't have it for myself. So we see this wonderful request that is made. And then we see next. Now, King Solomon, we're seeing his ruin now. He made this wonderful request, and now we see his ruin. 1 Kings 11. Now, King Solomon loved many foreign women. Was it polyamore? Love for many women or love for many men? You know, I can have many loves. It doesn't work. It didn't work in Scripture any place, and it doesn't work in real life any place. Not that Scripture wasn't real life. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh. He had Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women from the nations concerning which the Lord said. And Solomon knew this rule because he read the Pentateuch. He knew this. The Lord had said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for they shall surely they will do what? They'll turn away your heart after other gods. They'll turn you away from me. Don't go that path. But Solomon loved many women. And then it says Solomon clung to these in love. It's to grab onto. It's to hold onto tightly. Solomon's like, yeah, I know what Scripture says, but I want this. Have you ever said that to God? God, I know what your word says about whatever, but I want it. And I'm smarter than everybody else. I'm wiser than everybody else. I have more might than anybody else. That's not me. That's King Solomon talking now. I can do this, and I think I can get away with it. He had 700 wives who were princesses. That's a lot of princesses. 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. Why? Because he was clinging to them instead of to the Lord. And we can get into the fact that David set the stage for this in his life of marrying multiple women. But let's just focus on Solomon today. And his wives turned away his heart, for when Solomon was old, he held his ground for a while, but look what happens. His wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David, his father. You see, you can't hold on to something that God says is a no, and think that you can hold that and it not affect your heart. That it won't tear you away from the love of God and from loving God. It will every single time. It doesn't Scripture say whatever a person sows, that will he also reap? And you can't cling to which God says no and still cling to God and give him your yes. It doesn't work. His heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David, his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not wholly follow the Lord, as David his father had done. I mean, God mentions this a few times now, right? Holy, follow, whole heart. He's trying to make a whole point here. That it's God and God alone. You can't have God end. It doesn't work. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Molech, the abomination of the Ammonites, and the mountain east, on the mountain east of Jerusalem. And so he did for all his foreign wives who made offerings and sacrificed to their gods. This is the guy who built the temple to the Lord. This is the guy who built the Lord's temple. The place where the Holy of Holies is, the place where the presence of God came down and filled the temple. It filled it so strong that the priest fell down and couldn't even stand up in the presence of God. Solomon saw all that. God spoke to Solomon twice personally. You know, like, hey, dude, listen, what do you want? He talked to him like that. You know, sometimes we think, if I just had a little bit more of God coming into my life, I wouldn't go the way I am. Now, sometimes we can have everything. But if we lose our focus and we don't see what's important, we can get off track just like this. And so he did for all his foreign wives who made offerings and sacrifice to other gods. We see this ruin. Solomon, I just thought this was kind of funny. Solomon married for political reasons. Christianity in the West, we've kind of sold our soul for political reasons. And does it ever work in the end? Solomon compartmentalized his world into different parts. Oh, I can serve God here at the temple, and then I can go and serve other gods on the mountain. You can't serve God in anything else. You can't serve God in money. God says that doesn't work. You just can't. You can't serve God in sin. It doesn't work. You cannot compartmentalize your world into different parts. God is to be God and Lord over every single area of our life. Whether it's our sex lives, our married lives, our money, our schooling, our friends, God is to be God and Lord of everything. And Solomon thought he was smart enough and wise enough to handle it. But, man, he had such a beautiful request and it leads such a terrible ruin. Solomon worshipped the goddess of fertility, nature. That doesn't sound familiar to today, does it? Solomon worshipped the god of war, the subduer, Chemosh. Or Chemosh, depending on who you listen to. If I just had a little bit more power. You know? And Solomon worshipped the god of child sacrifice, Moloch. Milik and Moloch, same Milcom, all three, same name. It's the god who required a sacrifice to get what you wanted. And so many people are willing to sacrifice their children or to sacrifice a child who's not even born yet so they can have the life they think they want to live. And Solomon put these kind of idols up and let his wives serve them and offer sacrifices to these gods that aren't God. Because he thought somehow it was going to fill something in his life that only the King of Kings and Lord of Lords can fill. So when we see this happen, how does God respond to this? And the Lord was angry with Solomon. I thought God's a God of love. Yeah. But when you're ruining your life and you're ruining the life of all those around you, and you're allowing sin in on purpose, you're bringing destruction. And God doesn't want that for his people. God wants to bless his people. God wants to be there for them. God wants to be the love of their life. And here you are. You put all this up and God was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he did not keep what the Lord commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, since this has been your practice and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes that I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. Yet for the sake of David your father, I will not do it in your days, but I will tear it out of the hand of your son. And it appears that Solomon had the same attitude that Ahab had. And that, I can't think of the other king right now. Another king of Israel said, hey, as long as it's not going to happen in my days and just in my children's days, all right. Because what does Solomon do? We read it, and Solomon does nothing. He sets Israel up for 400 years of idol worship. And doesn't repent at all. What's the remedy of all this? Aren't you glad there's a remedy? You know, it's a, Steve, I'm sure glad you're speaking today because you're just so encouraging. Well, the encouraging thing is there's always a remedy with Jesus. There's always hope. And we want to look at this remedy. And what's amazing, think about this. This is still part of Solomon's prayer and declaration concerning the temple. These are still the words of Solomon. He says, if they sin against you, he's talking to the Lord, for there is no one who does not sin. I mean, he understood that. He was the wisest man who ever lived. And you are angry with them and give them to an enemy so that they are carried away captive to the land of an enemy far off or near. Drew, come on. Why? Oh, why does that not work when you need it to? There we go. Yet if they turn their, can you say it with me? Yet if they turn their, if you're online, can you say it with me? If they turn their heart in the land to which they have been carried captive, and that's it, our word here. There's a lot of R's today, isn't there? If they repent and plead with you in the land of their captor, saying, we have sinned and acted perversely and wickedly. Words that we don't like to say about ourselves, right? We like to say, well, I made a mistake. I might have wandered down the wrong path for a while. No, no, when we turn away from God, it says we have sinned and acted perversely and wickedly. We need to call sin what God calls it. That's what confession means, saying the same thing as God says. And what does he say? If they do this, Lord, if they do turn to you, if they do repent, if they repent with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, who carried them captive and pray to you and pray to you toward their land, which you gave to their fathers, the city that you have chosen, the house that I have built for your name. Then hear in heaven your dwelling place, their prayer and their plea, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you and all their transgressions that they have committed against you, and grant them compassion in the sight of those who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. He prays and he's saying, hey, if we turn to other gods, we need to repent. And God, when we repent, would you hear us? And God's like, yep, that's exactly what I'll do. God says, I will do this. So Solomon, what's your problem? Why won't you do this? And those of you walking away from God, or you haven't come to God yet, the question is, why won't you turn? I mean, some of you grew up in church and you've walked away from God. God says, if you repent and turn with your heart, he's ready to forgive. He wants to forgive. He's a God of love who is abundant in grace and mercy. The remedy is to repent and turn from those things and love God with all of your heart. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your might. Jesus repeats these things. And he said to them in Matthew 22:37-40, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the laws and prophets. The remedy is to repent and return to God. The repent is to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But have any of you ever felt completely inadequate in your love of God? You know, I want to repent and turn and love God, but I kind of stink at it. I'm not very good at it. Have you ever woken up in the morning and you've been so beaten down by your sin or so beaten down by your guilt or just apathy has hit you in this era of disorientation and distress and division, and you're just like, I don't feel anything. I have some great news for you and for me. And I love God's timing in all these things. I had something going on in my life, and I couldn't figure out what it was, and I was getting so distracted, as I mentioned earlier. And God, in his love, will bring us back to himself. Now, God did it by bringing, I can't get into all the details, but my wife, out of the blue, asked me a question about something that had happened 2 weeks ago that I hadn't really taken care of yet, but I said I had, or what I was going to, but I never did it. And just that little verbiage of her, and she goes, I don't even know why I said that. I'm like, I knew God's trying to get a hold of me again. Thank you, God. This is love, 1 John 4:10. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. Our love for God isn't based on what we can manufacture. Our love for God is based on what Jesus Christ has done for us. The God-man came to live among us, to die for us, and to rise again. We love because he first loved us. How do we get this love? We focus on what his love is for us. He says, if you love me, you will keep my... Yeah, but God, I have a hard time loving you. I don't even get it. I mean, focus on what I've done. And I'm going to get to more of that in a moment. But hear this passage. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I never noticed the juxtaposition of those verses. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I'm Jesus anticipating the guys going, yeah, we haven't been real good at that already. And Jesus is like, hey, I got you guys covered. I'm sending the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to dwell with you and to be in you. So where are you in your heart this morning? We talked about the beautiful request Solomon made. We see the ruin he had by not following the Lord and loving him with all of his heart. But we see the remedy that even Solomon gave, repent and to love God. Are you just distracted this morning by so much going on? I mean, even sometimes watching online, right? Those of you online, any little thing can distract you from watching. I know, because when I'm watching, it usually takes me 3 or 4 times to actually hear what's being said. I have to hit the, 10-second back button, beep, beep. What was that? Are you disoriented in your life? Confused about where you are and what's going on? Are you distressed from the pressures of everything? Are you feeling divided, even divided in your own heart? How do we focus on this remedy that God has given us? Well, this morning I want to pray with you that your heart will be focused on Christ. It will be firmly planted in the love and knowledge of God, and it will be flourishing as you follow him. And I have found a couple things that help me keep that way. And this morning I just want to share with you RPMs. Simple little thing. Read. Read what? The Word. You can read a lot of other books, but there's only one book that Jesus said is God-breathed. Right here. This has wisdom of who God is. It has understanding of how much God loves us, what God has done from the creation of the world to the culmination of the world. It tells of his amazing love throughout this whole book. You got to get in it and you got to read it. If you're not reading it, your heart will become cold. It just will. Because if you're not filling your heart with the words of God, what are you filling it with? It's going to be something pulling you away from God. And then pray. It's easy to remember, RPMs. Read, pray. Pray, talk to God. It's amazing. God likes to talk to us. And you don't have to get on your knees to pray. If you need to, at times, do it. You don't have to get all the way prostrate on the ground to pray. Sometimes you feel like you need to, do it. But God just wants to be with us all day. Pray without ceasing. That's just, you need you're talking with God all the time. Talk to Him. Speak with Him. And then meditate. Not just read the Word, but meditate on the Word. Meditate on what God says to you. And just chew it over and over and over again. Or I like what Chris Valentin is saying. Let it bulldoze all new pathways in your brain. Just keep meditating on God's Word and what your prayers are saying and what God is saying to you. And let those truths just plow new pathways to give you a heart of love for Him. Incline your heart to Him. Then RPMs, sing and serve. Sing. I will sing of your love. Well, that seems like a long time. Not really. When I am completely enthralled with my wife, I wish it was like 24/7, but I have to say it goes in waves. But when I'm in that moment, I just want to be with her. I don't want to really be with anybody else. I just want to be with her. And that's how God wants our hearts towards Him. That whatever's going on, whoever else you're with, you want Him to be there, to be a part, to be with you in everything. And singing helps do that. Singing worship songs just brings your heart back into that place. And then serve. Because if all you are is getting, and it can be hard in this era of COVID, right? Because it feels like you could just sit at home, sit, soak, and sour. But if you really want God's love to flow through you and understand it better, serve others. Sing His praise and serve. RPMs. I don't know where you are at today. But my prayer is that you'll fall madly in love with the God who's madly in love with you. And that you won't have a divided heart. That you won't let the things of this world distract you, disorientate you, divide you. But you'll follow Christ. If you're listening today and you don't know Christ, He loved you before you were even born. He died on the cross for you. He lived the life you could not live, to die the death that you deserve because of you disobeying God's word, either by not doing what He says or doing what He said not to. And yet Jesus paid for all those things on the cross, was buried and rose 3 days later to give us new life. That's how much God loves us. And He says, just trust me and walk with me. And if you've been struggling with any of these things this past year, turn your heart to the Lord. Focus on Christ. Give Him your whole heart. He is worth it. Father, help us all to repent. To repent of anything. Turn from anything that is distracting us from serving You. Anything that is disorientating us from serving You. Lord, anything that is dividing us from serving You. Anything that is causing us distress that gets our eyes off of You, Lord. May we look to You, the one, You're the one where our help comes from. You are the Lord. You are maker of heaven and earth. And You are the God who has loved us with an everlasting love. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to head into communion now. So at home, I ask you to prepare your elements. passage of scripture I want to read. And here in the room, we're going to pass out elements as well. You know, as I was getting ready this morning, one of the verses that I'm going to be sharing in this passage popped up on my YouVersion Bible app. And I said, this is one of my favorite passages of scripture, oh, Lord. So, okay, let's go there today. Not knowing what Steve was going to preach about. It's John chapter 15. It's about the vine and the branches. I'm going to read that to us. Because it's about us remaining in the Lord. Living in Him. Him being in us. So I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You know, when you listen to Pastor Dan speaking this morning about staying in your coach's corner, being able to hear his voice speaking to you, teaching you, encouraging you, giving you that strategic and that tactical advantage in that moment because you can hear his voice. That's what our life is to be like with the Lord, to remain close to him, to listen to him. When we make the wrong move, return to what he's told us to do. Go back to those first principles. Remain in him. Bear fruit. Remember, apart from him, we can do nothing. I love how what Steve shared about with Solomon. Solomon had done all these things, and then he departed from the Lord, and then he never repented. But God has always given us a way back to him. I'm thankful for Steve sharing the gospel message this morning, a salvation message, that we have a way to the Father because the Son came and died in our place. And he says, come to me. Follow me. Lay down your life, and I will give you new life. If you've wandered away from the Lord, if you've been wandering in this season, he's had a consistent message in this time. Repent, repent, repent. Turn to me. Follow me. I'm shaking everything. I'm unshakable. Hold on to me. Listen to me. Obey me. Know me. Live in my love. He wants to restore our relationships with him in the midst of the chaos and the calamity that we see in this earth. Because he wants us to bear fruit in this season and in the season to come. And we can only do that if we are found in him. I don't want to be a withered branch. I don't want to be thrown into the fire. I don't want any of that. But I do want him to prune me and burn up anything that's in me that is not of him. We're going to take communion now. As Steve shared, Jesus laid down his life for us. His body was broken for us. His blood was poured out for us. He was the pure and spotless Lamb, and he went to the cross for each and every one of us. We can bear fruit in every season because of what he did for us. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we can remember what you did for us. In our darkest hour, we know that we can run to you, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that you are running to us as we run to you. It doesn't matter what dark pathways we've walked down, Lord, what wickedness we've been steeped in, what darkness, Lord, we can always return to you, and you are always waiting for us. You've never left us. You've never forsaken us. Your love is beyond all of that. It penetrates every single thing. Father, we thank you for sending your Son for us. Lord, I pray for everyone today that's wandering, that may hear these words, Lord, that they would turn, they would repent, they would turn and follow you once again, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Take and eat and drink in the name of Jesus. I want to thank everybody for tarrying in this time with us over these past, I think it's 9 months now that we've been in this COVID situation. For everybody who's been waiting patiently for us to be able to reopen our doors, for those that have come and been with us as we've been outside, and for everybody who has remained with us online during this time, some of you aren't going to be able to come back with us as we open the doors again, and we understand that. I just want you to know that whatever you're able to do from your comfort level with being able to interact with us, just encourage you in that. We would love to be able to see your face person to person, but we also recognize that not everybody's going to be able to do that. We support you in that decision. But if you're able to come, as we reopen our doors, we invite you to come in and be part of what we're doing here. We also want to be praying over our region in this season that we're in. We've seen across the country numbers have increased. We've seen it rising in our state, in our county. We're still operating well within what the boundaries are for what's able to happen right now in our area. We're going to continue to do so. But we should be praying over the people that are around us, praying in our community, praying over our neighborhoods, praying over our friends, our family. This is an important season that we're moving into. In the natural realm, but I think even in the spiritual realm. People are tired. We're wearied by this. We want to continue to press into the Lord and ask for his healing power. Lord, we just thank you for your people. I bless them right now as we go about our week. Lord, as we prepare to open the doors this next weekend, we ask for your grace, your mercy, your healing over our county, Lord Jesus, over the counties that are around us, Lord, over our region, over our nation, Lord. We rebuke the coronavirus, Lord, and we ask that you would bring about healing in our people, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray for our healthcare workers, those that are on the front lines, Lord, as they're facing this next wave that's coming through, Lord. I ask that you would strengthen them, you would restore them, and you would resource them, Lord, with what is needed to face this virus. We bless your name, Jesus. We bless your name. Amen. Have a wonderful week. Yes? The procedures that we're going to use for reopening. Hey, folks, if you have not seen the procedures that we're using for reopening, I encourage you to go to our website and look at the document that we have there. It's pretty thorough and extensive, and I encourage you to look at those procedures ahead of time. We also will have there a place where you can register for our event. It's through Eventbrite. We have limited seating here, so there will be an announcement about when you can register for the event. And we also have a health questionnaire that we ask you to fill out no more than 24 hours before walking through the doors here, because we want to keep a safe environment. Everybody's wearing masks. Nobody's touching. We are singing with masks, but we're looking forward to being able to do that with you. We had a wonderful time here in the room today. Please go out and look at our website and look at that information. We love you. We bless you. Hope to see you next weekend. God bless you. Bye-bye.